to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Aware Show. This is Lisa Garr, and it's so great to be with you all today. First of all, I encourage you, if you are online, to check out our website, which is theawareshow.com. That's theawareshow.com on our website, where always you can find out where I'm broadcasting this week, what currently is going on in our world with the Aware Show, and there's also the opportunity to check out my book there, which is called Becoming Aware, and all that we're doing. One of the faces you're going to find up on my website today is Dane Heer. Now, Dane was on one of my shows, and we were doing a series together of a new course he has called The 10 Keys to Freedom. And I called it The 10 Keys to Total Freedom, because it's truly has the power to access total freedom in your life. Now, Dane is the co-creator of a body of work called Access Consciousness. And it's a series of questions that empower people to know who they truly are. And he was on my show a couple days ago, and we were talking about the Paris bombings. And he had such an impassioned plea and said to me, is there anywhere that we can talk about this from a place of empowering people, of recognizing the sadness and the anger, but moving the conversation towards the hope, what we can do about this? Because I know when devastating events happen around the world, as they have here in the U.S., in Paris, in Beirut, wherever they are happening in the world, we become overwhelmed with this feeling of hopelessness. What can we do? And there are things that we can do, and that is what Dane is joining us to talk about. He wrote an article for the Huffington Post called Not on Our Watch. And I highly encourage you to read this. This is what the topic of our discussion is going to be today. Go to Huffington Post. Check that article out. It's beautifully done. It's called Not on Our Watch. What do you mean by that, Dane? Hello, my friend. Dane?
Hello, my friend.
Hi. Sorry about that. what do you mean by not on our watch?
Well, here's the thing. You know, we have these events that are going on all around our world. You know, a lot of them living in the United States we don't necessarily hear about. But we live on a planet where we have created a reality where this is acceptable. And what not on our watch basically means is let us recognize that the kind, caring, gentle people of this planet, the people that desire a kinder, gentler reality, have a voice also. And we have not been speaking up energetically. We've been believing that the people who hate the most, the people who scream the most, the people who kill others in the name of some cause somehow have more power than we do. From my point of view, it's time to take back our planet. It's time to take back our world. And not in the way that an extremist would, but in the way of my voice matters also. And it's not your voice as in the screaming that you do. It's your voice as in the energy that you're willing to be, the insistence you're willing to make of, here's the future I would like to see created. And I'm going to be and do everything I can that will allow that to be created. And the interesting thing is, it's not about fighting against someone. It's actually about opening up the space to be inclusive of everything that is possible for us.
Wow. Well, that's the opposite of what we're hearing, Dane. I mean, what we're hearing is the state of emergency and the attacks and trying to find the group that was responsible and the enormous noise that ISIS is trying to make to get the attention, global attention of their attack, their terrorism. That's what's being reported on, okay? Yes.
Yeah.
You know this.
I absolutely do, and that's why I wanted to have this conversation, because what happens is when you watch that over and over and over, it becomes this trauma that's etched in your memory forever. And then it creates this place where you walk around thinking, even when there's nothing to be afraid of, you start thinking, wow, maybe I should be afraid of going here. Maybe I should be afraid of what's going on. And that's, you know, so ISIS did their thing. And right now, a lot of the media is perpetrating exactly that, because that's what we've learned to do here. You know, that's what sells. That's what so many people want to hear. And that's why I'm saying this. When we stop valuing hearing that, when we stop valuing the trauma and drama, it will stop being a sellable item, and we can actually move on into something different. For me, when I saw this, you know, yet another attack against our brothers and sisters on this planet, and I don't, for me, it's like whether the attack occurs in Paris or Nairobi or Beirut or Lebanon, these are all our brothers and sisters on this planet. We're all here together.
Mm-hmm. It's all humanity, yes.
Absolutely. Yes. And we need to realize this. It's not East versus West. It's we live on this planet together. And we, if we choose to recognize it, can create a different future than what we're currently choosing.
Now, when you mention a different future, how do we do this with all of this noise and all of this information that's going on? I mean, it's not noise. It's reporting on the facts and reporting on what's happening in the world. And I don't think the intention is to perpetuate fear. It's the result. So in that choice point right there, we can make a different decision, right?
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. And the way of... When I talk about creating a future, you know, people look at me like, you know, a dog's watching television a lot of times, because they're like, no, I've got to handle this today. And what do you mean create a future? But we all know there are things that are going on this planet that if we could choose something different, we would. But we haven't gotten that. Our simple choice to ask for something different will be the beginning, the very beginning, perhaps, of opening the door of creating something different. See, what happens is, when you go blindly along and are just led by the trauma and drama around you, that's what you'll end up creating in your world, because that's what you surround yourself with. That's what you believe is real. And what ends up happening is the point of view that's closest to you, you know, your point of view ends up creating the reality that shows up. Reality doesn't create our point of view. It's how we choose to respond to reality that creates what shows up. And so, or how we choose to respond to the world that creates the reality that shows up, I should say. And so in looking at creating something different, what you want to recognize is it's not at all what we think it is that will create change. Change occurs first from in your world looking and saying, would I even like something different? And if so, if I were part of creating the world, how would I create it? What would I like to see as the world? What type of world would I like to wake up in? What type of world would I like to live in? And get the sense of that for a moment. And then ask yourself, just what one small thing can I do today that will start creating the world that way?
This comes up in every area of the world, not just when it comes to the news and terrorism. It comes up with every area of our life. This is such an important phrase you said, that our point of view creates our reality. Our reality doesn't create our point of view. So I want to ask you about that question, because the reality is that the attacks happened. People did die. Finances are plummeting in people's worlds. There is war and future threats. That's reality. Okay, so if you say we continue to focus on that reality, it will affect our point of view. But if we change our point of view to what? To what? Does it change the reality?
Yes. And when you say change your point of view to what, that's our individual choice. See, that's where we have the choice. How would I like to feel about this? Perhaps an example might help. I was, my good friend Gary, the founder of Access Consciousness, tells this story about watching right after Hurricane Andrew hit Florida many, many years ago. There was this news broadcast on, and there was a guy standing there in his underwear with a slab behind him. And, you know, and prior to that, there was the trauma and drama of Hurricane Andrew and these people who'd lost their houses, and they were yelling at God and railing at the world and were so angry that this could occur and so upset. And he's standing there, and they said, sir, what's your story? And he said, well, kind of interesting. I moved down here. I had my life savings in that house that used to be behind me, and now all I have is a slab. And the news person went, "Sir, you must be devastated. How do you feel about it?" He went, "Well, not really. I still got me, you know."
Nice.
I don't know if I could have responded that way at the time.
Right.
You know, but if you look at that, who's going to have an easier time moving on and creating their lives? The people that are going into the intensity of trauma and drama, like we've all been taught to, need to realize we've been taught this. It's not that we just came upon it on accident. It's like we've been taught this our whole lives that we need to go into the trauma and drama. But there's this guy standing outside of that reality that everybody else thought they had to go into. He's going to create something totally different. That's what I'm talking about. How would we like to actually choose the reality we function from and create? We keep acting like reality is done to us. We keep acting like what we have as our point of view is done to us, and we have to respond this way. It's sort of like this automatic response system we go from and go into. Instead, what if in actuality we have a choice of how to respond? And what if we looked at that and went, you know what? This has happened one too many times. Whatever it takes, this needs to change.
What is that change? That's where this conversation can start from, is what, how do we create that change? I love your reference in the article on HuffPost about Tomorrowland, the movie, the Disney movie.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people saw it, but I loved that movie because there was a point in the movie where in order to change the trajectory of the future that hadn't happened yet in their current reality, they needed to start to change their belief systems. And by a fraction of a percent, one person changed the belief system. And that was the basis of the whole movie on how to continue to change that, to grow that fraction of a percent of a belief system change to another fraction, and another fraction, and another fraction. And if we actually can do this in a critical way, in a critical mass way, what do you think is possible? Paint the picture.
Well, first I'd like to say that exactly what you're talking about is exactly how it happens, exactly how it can occur. That's first. Now, for me, as far as the picture goes, I mean, imagine waking up tomorrow in a world that had no judgment and no wrongness in it, where hatred had vanished, where the consumption, where everybody feels like they have to consume theirs before anybody else gets it, had gone away. And instead, rather than having countries that rely on separation and keeping people out, and we have resources and you don't, and we will take yours. What if everyone in the world actually got together and went, "Hey, do you require this? I can contribute it. I require this. Will you contribute it?" And we were actually glad, grateful, and happy to contribute to each other. That's just the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rather than we have this idea somehow that our country is the right reality and that we can just isolate ourselves enough and that's okay. But once again, if we could imagine living in a world that was actually about the world, not about the separation, but about the inclusion, what possibilities could exist then? Now, I recognize I may be talking about a future that we don't choose here for many, 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 many years, if at all.
Yeah.
But if we don't start having this conversation
now,
this possibility, it's never going to happen.
Yes, because instantly in my head, I'm like, how many systems would you have to penetrate in order to create that? I'm thinking of that to my, well, that's because I'm raised in this country. Yeah.
Absolutely. But that's the thing that stops us. See, we look at linearly what we would have to, what we would have to break apart, what we would have to penetrate, what we'd have to change.
Mm-hmm.
But that's actually not the way consciousness works. So what I'm talking about is actually when we change our consciousness, when we change our level of awareness, you know, there's a brilliant book called The 100th Monkey, and where they talk about when enough of the monkeys on this particular island were doing something, which was washing their food, that was better for everybody, all the monkeys on all the islands, even though they'd never communicated, started doing it because the consciousness had risen to such a degree that it went across this entire species, basically. And so that's more the way it works. And so when we look at that thing of, oh, my gosh, there'd be this that'd have to break apart and this and this and this, that's actually a way of stopping our willingness to say, hey, I will be the energy that changes this. I will, in my world, hold this as the vision and possibility for the future I would like to create. And any opportunity I see to create it, I'm going to choose it. Even if it's just smiling at somebody that I would have normally ignored. Even if it's maybe giving somebody a hand or giving somebody a ride or something. It's like being that energy starts to create a change for all of us that will do it, but it creates it for all of us across the planet.
So you travel the world and you're in a different country every month. Have you seen a place that exists like this in the world, Dane?
Oh, I wish. I've seen pockets of it. I've seen people who exist like this, and when you see them and you're in their presence, it's like, oh, you know, all of the walls and barriers in your world melt and you realize, wow, this is actually possible to live this and function from this. You know, one of the things that I've seen with the people who do Access Consciousness classes for any length of time is they start to have more of this as their sense of possibilities. And the other thing that I've seen with that, and the reason I wanted to be here and have this conversation with you, Lisa, is because I've seen this where a lot of the people that I've worked with, whether it's for months or years, it's like when this Paris thing occurred, they didn't go into the trauma and drama. They went into it and went, wow, you know what? Yeah, that sucks, okay? You know, it's like that is totally inappropriate for this to occur on our planet. What can we do to create a place where this doesn't exist? And that right there, if we can, what happens is if we go into the trauma and drama of it, we align and agree with that, we feed that. What we got to stop doing is feeding the trauma and drama, feeding the fear, feeding the anger, and feeding the sense of no hope and impossibility.
But what if that Paris shooting happened to one of their children?
Well, what would you look at? Well, and that's the thing. That's the other thing, once again, but it did. It did happen to our children. We are part of this planet. You know, it did. And when I say that, you know, a lot of people might think it's theoretical, but for me, it's like, no, this happened to somebody else on our planet. It did happen to our children. It happened to our brothers and our sisters. And so, and when you say, you know, like, what if their child were there? I don't know how somebody would respond, quite frankly. But what I do know is that there is this possibility for, as you experience and after you experience whatever it is your initial reaction, because everybody's going to respond differently, you know. And all I can say is if it's one of the people that I was talking about, they would go through their trauma, drama, their grief, and then they would do whatever they could to get the awareness of what it was behind it that would allow a greater result to occur, whatever that is. And I know it's so, for example, in I think that might be a little beyond the scope of our conversation. But when looking for whatever the greatest result is that can occur from this, you start to look at the situations that occur and you start to realize that certain times, you know, it's like certain times certain people will do things to wake the rest of us up or to give us the gift of knowing that things need to change. There are many examples of people that have done such things. And in looking at it, you know, and looking at and saying, like, for example, it's like if I had a child that was there,
yes,
and had been killed, what I would do is I would go through the mourning. I would not resist it at all. I would, you know, if it were time to rail at the world, I'd be railing at the world. I'd be screaming. I'd be crying. I'd be yelling, whatever it was required. In other words, I wouldn't shy away from it. I would be with it, which I think can be its own gift. And then I would look and go, okay, so what can I do and what can I be different to make sure this never occurs with anybody else's child?
Mm-hmm.
And what can I do to honor the gift that my child just gave of their life?
Mm.
You know, because the situation occurred, you can't stop it. What can I do to honor the gift that my child is? And what can I do to honor the gift my child just gave? Because they were part of waking up the world. Now, you could choose to go into the trauma and drama as a result of that and stay there. But is that actually honoring the gift
Well, that's how, like, MAD gets started, like Mothers Against Drunk Drivers got started, and all of those, organizations got started, speaking about the exact same thing that you're talking about, making a use of that. Yes, that's true. That is true. And so,
So we all have that choice. Are we going to ignore this and try to act like, oh, the problems in the world are too big and we can't change them? Or are we going to recognize that this is a wake-up call, that one of many, but one will listen to, you know, at least in the Western world because of where it occurred, and recognize that, okay, is it time to create, you know, something like Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, the energy of, look, not on our watch. Mm-hmm. This is our planet, too.
Mm-hmm. So On Our Planet exists, and I get it, and I'm completely in alignment with you, and I understand. I just am going to ask some of the questions that people are asking.
Please, definitely.
And we will go to callers as well, but someone's saying with ISIS, they are fundamentalists with no hope that believe that the end days are inevitable and that Muhammad will save us all, and that is that they want, you know, they have so much hate that is, you know, these are also our brothers and sisters. So to that point, how do we get that? How do we have feelings where there's that type of hate that exists on this planet and in their mind is completely justified?
Well, let me say two things. Number one, you can only contribute something to somebody who's willing to receive it, okay? So I would not go about trying to bring love to ISIS at this point because ISIS is not interested.
Right, exactly.
You know, and have you ever tried to give something to somebody that they weren't willing to receive, you know, like kindness or a hug or something, and they return it to you with daggers attached?
Right.
Well,
for years.
So you can only give people what they're actually willing to receive. So, and there are a lot of people that are really confused because they're like, well, he's saying we should love everybody. And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm actually saying you should have total caring for everybody. And also, that doesn't mean that you go try to give love to somebody who's not willing to receive it. So let's look from a different place.
Okay.
It's interesting, I was in Europe on one of the trips that I do over there and facilitating classes over there. And I happened to see this TV broadcast of King Abdullah of Jordan, a Muslim country, speaking to the European Parliament. And he said, and this, I was so grateful to see this. You know how the universe puts these things in front of you. I was so grateful to see this. He said, look, these extremists who are saying they're speaking in the name of Islam are not. Islam is a religion based on peace, as is Christianity. Any murder on this planet, whether it be of a Christian, a Muslim, a Hindu, or anybody else in the name of religion, is a wrongness against humanity and a wrongness against all of us.
True.
Please do not believe that these people speak for all Muslims around the world. They do not speak for us. They do not speak for the hugest majority of us. And they have hijacked our faith in the name of extremism mm-hmm. and hatred.
Right. And I hope I didn't couple them into that conversation. I was specifically talking about ISIS. Thank you for that.
No, I absolutely. But
Great.
It's interesting because in the Western world, what we tend to do is we tend to initially be really skeptical or afraid or wanting to separate from anything that's different. And in the Western world, so many of us have had so little contact with Muslims or with the Islamic faith that we really, I mean, there are parts of it, you know, you'll hear about, but really we don't have a living, working, breathing contact. So when we hear this, you know, when we see ISIS out there being their extremists that they are, well, they look at that and go, oh, well, see, that's Muslims. Well, nah, those are total extremists.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So,
Yes.
So I wanted to say that because that if you recognize that, if you recognize it's not about giving love to people who won't receive it. It's about mm-hmm. giving the love to the people who will receive it and who will take it and make it greater. It's about giving the love to the people who didn't, and it's even more than love. You know, it's love is this weird thing we have a lot mm-hmm. of times, but it's more like the caring, the kindness, the gratitude, the awareness of a different possibility that we can be with people. I mean, it could, you know, like if you went to, if you found a family that was really poor and gave them some gift, you know, of food or of toys for their kids or something. I mean, that is one thing that changes the world for more kindness. And yeah, is it a small thing? Yeah, but it might change somebody's whole life. So it's like, what can we do and be with our very energy as we're walking around? Because there's 7+ billion of us walking around being, and when we're the energy of trauma and drama, it's like, it's an intensity that we all share and give to one another that is not an intensity of joy or kindness. It's this intensity of trauma and drama. If we choose to instead be a space of lightness and asking, what will it take to create something greater? What are the infinite possibilities of what we could create together? What else is possible that I've never considered?
Yes, and that's the beginning of our whole conversation, was to have that. There's plenty of the other on the air.
Yeah.
Yes, and the rest of this conversation is going to be about how we can create that. Lots of people are calling in, Dane. Is it okay if we go to a few phone calls here?
Absolutely.
Great. And the number again is 818-985-KPFK. My guest is Dr. Dane here. He's a co-creator of Access Consciousness. And let's go to Cody. Cody in Pasadena, do you have a question or comment for Dr. Dane here?
Yes. And thank you so much for being there. I just want to express gratitude, Lisa, for your work and your broadcasting the information for the many years that you have.
Thank you, Cody. Thank you.
And also acknowledge the doctor and thank you for your work in generating that energy around the planet, which is so direly needed right now.
True.
Thank you, Cody. And I thank you. And I second what you said about Lisa. She's been doing this for years, sometimes not easily. And way to go.
True. Okay, Cody, what is your question, my friend?
And thanks. I have a comment, and it's about the recent activity that has happened, the destructiveness that happened in France recently.
Yes.
And it has to do with something that I've been learning in my own spiritual development about, that there are all kinds of different forces in this realm. Because of the specific realm we are in, it seems that, well, it is, these forces of destruction are allowed to be.
Other planetary type of forces? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yes.
On this planet, on this specific surface of this planet, it's allowed for destructive forces to exist.
Ah, so we've been we've always been in a place of war, you mean, on this planet.
Mm-hmm. And I'm learning. I'm at a place in my life where I've been guided to deep delving and research, and what I've been blessed to discern with a guide is that there are these forces, and that they actually they are nourished by the energy that is released from these destructive events.
Dane, I'm going to have you take that one.
Happy to. So, Cody, I'm not disagreeing in any way. And here's the thing, and this I would like to make very loud and clear. Nothing has more power than us. Nothing. And at an early part in my spiritual search, I was introduced to different things that you are, maybe not the exact thing you're talking about, but the concept also. And for a very long time, I lived in resistance and reaction to those very things you're speaking of. And I could not believe, I couldn't wrap my mind around that something would get off, so to speak, or get energy from destruction. And so for a very long time, it was like, I was like, oh no, these forces are here. Oh no. And I used to make myself really little and small in comparison. And then I met a guy named Gary Douglas who said, nothing has more powerful than you. The only power they have is when you align and agree that they have more power than you. He said, if you were totally in allowance, and allowance is where everything is just an interesting point of view, where it occurs and you're like the rock in the stream. All this stuff comes at you and goes around you because you don't align and agree that this has more power than you. Mm. And you don't resist and react to them or that. You choose your path, and none of it will affect you, harm you, or limit you again. But not only that, you take away their power to have any power over anybody else. The only reason any of that has power over any of us is because we have decided it does. When you come out of that, when you come out of the idea that this, any of these things have more power than us, they stop having that power. And I have seen this thousands of times with the hundreds of thousands of people I've worked with in the last 15 years, including people who were living in abusive situations at home. At a certain point, they go, you know what, enough. I'm tired. I'm done with the idea this person has more power than me. And they change the situation and often leave. And it's amazing to watch. And basically what we're experiencing on our planet at this point is an abusive situation. You know, it's like we're in an abusive relationship with the reality around us. And we keep aligning and agreeing that it has more power than we do. And so I'm so grateful for you bringing this up, because I think a lot of people out there are aware of this on some level, even if they've never had the conversation to make it a specific in their world, you know, such as defining the energies or defining that into terms that, you know, you can put it into a box about it's this and this. I think inherently, though, we know there are people like that out there. The thing is, they don't have more power than we do, which is why I'm starting this, you know, this conversation, because if we can start to get that, we will stop walking around in fear. We'll stop walking around believing that we have to live with these things going on our planet and that we don't have the power to change it.
Yes, and I acknowledge you're saying that we are and we have the power, and the only reason that there is a seemingness of there being this other power is because of our deciding, consciously or unconsciously, to allow those other forces to affect us or take our power. We have the power.
Absolutely.
That's right. That's right.
One more thing. And it's so important because everyone on the planet has the power. And we're waking up to that, and there's resistance from those destructive forces that don't want that awakening, because once we start waking up, we have 7 billion strong to make this planet a much better place.
You got that right, Cody. Yes, sir, you sure do. Thank you for being...
Something that happened recently, and I feel that it's a retaliation, the Paris thing. There was something that happened in France that was a collaboration. There was a collaboration of national leaders, international leaders, and France decided to make reparations to U.S. descendants of survivors of the Holocaust. This happened recently. France decided to start paying, giving financial amends to survivors of the Holocaust, the descendants, because France at the time allowed Germany to use French trains to transport people to Germany, to the camps.
Right.
Okay.
So that act, that international act of togetherness and France acting in a universal sense, because the destruction didn't happen in France. They just provided the trains. It was a universal act of justice, of making amends. That act by international leaders working together was an uplifting. It was a broadcast. It was an energetic uplift to inspire other nations to work together, and see that was why there was that immediate reaction. I feel there was an immediate reaction to distract from that news. That should be the big news.
Hmm. Hey, so Cody, thank you. Thanks for the awareness, and I agree. Like, in the sense of that should have been the big news, and could have, and should, you know, and so.
So, what he was talking about was bringing in, you know, having these other external energies out there, and I loved what you said about it in terms of who we are. And there's nothing more powerful than us, and that whole idea of interesting point of view, and deciding that we're more powerful than any other decision we've made in the past. It's not necessarily even outside forces. It is. It is also our own internal sources that we've also got to conflict with as well here.
Absolutely, and that's really where it is, you know, is the internal sources, if you will, of that, and where we've made those decisions on our own. You know, as you know, in Access Consciousness, we have ways of changing those decisions, which probably are a little beyond the scope of today's conversation, unfortunately, but really, one of the things that can begin to change the possibilities is asking a question. And see, a question always empowers. An answer always disempowers. And it's like, you know, we're walking down the road of our life looking for something different, but it feels like there's walls to the left and right, and we don't know how to, like, get through them because all we see is these walls. Well, when you ask a question, doors open, and they have light and space behind them to the left and the right of these other possibilities that you never saw before you asked the question. I mean, you could ask something as simple as, what else is possible here? And what would it take for us to create the world that I know is possible? And what one thing can I do today to create that? And really simple questions, you know? But that starts to open the door of something different. It breaks that stranglehold of trauma and drama, but it also breaks the stranglehold of powerlessness that we've been functioning from. And I'm going to say again, guys, we are not powerless. I mean, look at what Gandhi did in India. That was everybody getting together and going, no, this is changing. And it changed. The civil rights movement in the United States.
That's true. Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. And these were people who prior to that thought they were powerless, thought the system was too much.
There was a leader there, though. There was a Gandhi. There was a Nelson Mandela. There was a Martin Luther King. I don't know where that leader is now.
I do.
Tell me.
We all look at him or her in the mirror every morning.
Yes. I got that answer when you said, I do. Good
yep.
for you. Yes, that was beautifully said. Yes.
See, we all know. We just keep pretending that we don't. We all know that we would like something different. And, you know, we've been so taught to focus on, you know, the small things, you know, the money problems, the relationship problems, the this. And there's a place for changing all of that, okay? But changing it is really friggin' easy. It's a lot easier than we ever thought it could be. But really, the thing is, if you've been looking at that small problem and it hasn't been changing, it's because what you actually need to do is focus on something far larger, and then those small problems will change. So if you were to truly get up in the morning and go, okay, so if I were truly creating the world today, what would I choose? How would I like the world to be today?
Mm-hmm.
And then how would I like my life to be today? And then what one thing can I do and be today that will create that? And it may be getting over an upset you had with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It you know, it may be calling somebody and being kind to them. But what we need to recognize is we are actually the leaders for a different possibility. And why do I say that? Because in the midst of this trauma and drama, as an example, if while everybody else is doing trauma and drama, you interject a question like, wow, I wonder what else is possible beyond this. I wonder what it would take for this to never again happen in our world. People would look at you. They might think you'd grown three heads and a tail.
Mm-hmm.
But that's actually becoming a leader for different possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So you mentioned earlier about where do we start? And you said here that what's the one thing that we can do today to create today, to change today? Can you give us some examples of what that means to what else is possible? Like Where can we start, I think, is the question. We've addressed the anger and the fear. Where do we start with possibilities?
Right. Well, I think one of the, like I said, I think one of the first things to do is actually to start by asking some questions about what you would like to have. So actually the first place to start is to look at this and go, okay, I realize that when Lisa and Dane said that, there was something that spoke to me. So there must be something here for me. Now, and recognizing that, and recognizing, okay, what you want to in your world get the awareness that you are part of this planet too and have something to contribute. Because otherwise you don't believe it and you won't ever even go here. But if you'll just acknowledge it, see, here's a tool you want to have. What's true always makes you feel lighter. A lie always makes you feel heavier.
Mm-hmm.
So what's true for you, sort of like it might make you feel like you take a deep breath or you have a sense of space, or some people get kind of giddy and start laughing. Okay, so that's what happens when somebody says something, you think of something, that's what's true for you. What's a lie for you will always make you feel heavier. So if I say that you've got something to contribute here that you may not have acknowledged and it makes you feel lighter, you take a deep breath or you go, yes, and get a smile on your face, then it's true. So recognize that first. So if you can recognize that and recognize that there is some part of this that you know also, because I can't tell you anything you don't know. I can just speak to what you do and maybe point it out in a way that hasn't been pointed out before. So now if you go, okay, you know what? Yes, I am on this planet. Yes, that did make me feel lighter. Yes, some part of that spoke to me. Now you want to make a demand. And the demand is not on my watch. This is going to change. I don't care if it takes 100 years. This is going to change. I'm going to be whatever I can be that will change the space for what occurs here, or the energy for what occurs, because reality basically is a collective of all of us. And this particular collective we have contributed to, we also can begin to change it. So once again, like the civil rights movement in the U.S., great example. Did we have a leader? Yeah, we had a lot of leaders also that weren't mentioned. We had a lot of leaders, people in their own homes who were like, no, we are standing up for this, but we don't see them. We see Martin Luther King, and then we see that he got shot, and then we go, oh, well, we probably shouldn't do that. We don't look at the fact that there were thousands of leaders in their own homes and in their own communities that were like, yes, I'm getting behind this. I'm going to contribute my energy to this. And when there were enough of them contributing their energy to it, things started changing in the entire U.S. And then it became a force that could not be stopped, but it was a force for possibilities, not a force for limitation.
Well, let's talk about social. I mean, we could use social right now because this is really much the first voice I've heard of saying, you know, how can we choose a place of possibilities right now? Because mostly what we're hearing in the news is the statistics. So how could we create a social environment, maybe starting a chat or a thread on creating this conversation? How could we do that?
So what you said about social, yes, absolutely. See, we actually have an ability to have a far greater impact than anybody who was in the civil rights movement did, other than Martin Luther King, because of our social media capacity at this point. And if there's something you'd like to say, like pick one thing that has woken up in you as a result of this conversation, or something that has inspired you as a result of this conversation, and talk about it, you know, put it out there. Like I heard this today and you don't have to mention my name. You don't have to mention Lisa's name or mention Lisa's name. Don't worry about my name.
But, you know, just mention the conversation. Today. Yes.
Yeah. Mention the conversation. I heard this today and it really got me thinking, I'm going to do this, you know, like this is and put your awareness of it, your spin on it. What went on for you? Because that's the value. See that one thing right there. That's becoming a leader.
What can you do? What can you do? Yes. What conversation can you start on your chat thread, on your social media, wherever you are, about being in a place of possibilities? Even just collectively getting your entire group on your whatever social media page to start to send love, you know, emotional love to the to the people that were hurt and impacted, the whole world, our brothers and sisters on this planet. Yes, start the conversation. That's exciting.
That is. And you notice that has an energy to it where you get excited. You know, like you said, that's exciting. And that's the beginning. That's right. And then what happens is you do something like that. That's simple. You make a post, you do this, and then you get the feedback from the people that are inspired by it and say, thank you so much. You're the only person out there talking about this. I'm so grateful. Thank you so much. And you, who knows, you may be the person to start a movement out there. You know?
Anyone listen? Yes, absolutely. And there's plenty of the other. There's plenty out there that's talking about the details and all that is covered. Let's get another conversation started. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You know, people have plenty of information, okay? They got plenty of trauma and drama that's being broadcast at them continuously. But us starting a different conversation, and imagine if every one of us listening just did one thing. You know, and some of you out there aren't on social media, you know, maybe you'll be having a conversation with a friend and share a different concept or a possibility. Now, here's the thing, is one of the things that we look at is there will be some people who will not get it, will not be interested in it, and they will send you the meanest stuff you've ever heard, and you're like, oh my gosh, I thought they were my friend. And they'll be telling you how wrong and bad you are. Guess what? Delete them as a friend. They are not a friend. You don't need them as a friend. You don't need to hang out with people that are going to be mean to you, okay? So recognize that. But that's one of, and I say that because that's one of the reasons we have avoided putting out there a different point of view and what's true for us. And yet what it does is it galvanizes people. It wakes them up. And what we need are people who wake up to know a different possibility can exist.
Yes. Yes. Now, let me ask you something. If you were to hang up this phone and get off the show, is there something that you would have wanted to say? What haven't you said yet, Dane?
Well, one big thing is everything is changeable. Everything. From the smallest thing in your life to the biggest thing on our planet, if we would just get over the lie that it's not. We have tried to use the linear constructs of this reality to create change. It doesn't work. Mm. We've tried to somehow believe that what people tell us about change is true. I have been fortunate, so blessed, to blaze a totally different trail of change in the last 15 years.
Yeah.
After getting over wanting to kill myself using these tools from Access Consciousness, and together with the people that have come to Access and Gary Douglas, the founder, and I, we have blazed a totally different trail of change. And so I know anything is changeable. And this is where I'm coming from, not from the dream and the delusion of, wow, I hope it's possible, let's think happy thoughts. Happy thoughts don't do it. Happy thoughts are great. But stepping into the recognition that when we do something different and be something kinder, it changes the energy of our world. When we become more inclusive, it changes the energy of our world. This is what I'm talking about.
And it's
possible.
And the question I asked you was for everyone. It was for everyone. If there is if you step outside of a situation that is going wrong and not going your way, and you look back on it, what's the one thing that you would have wanted to do different to change the trajectory of that situation? Do that now. Do that now. Do something radically, completely different for yourself or for this planet to find out what else is possible. It may seem absurd. It will rock the boat. It will challenge authority. Don't hurt yourself and don't hurt anyone else. Just do it in a conscious, connected way. What can we do to stand up as ourselves to be the change, to be the change, to truly stop letting the future, as Dane says, of everything that we do be in the hands of those that scream the loudest and hate the most. He said this in his article in the Huffington Post called Not on Our Watch. And go to that article and like that if you need to. Whatever you need to do, do something right now. If you start there, See how that feels. Does that feel lighter? Then go to the next level. Taking back what he says in this article is take back our future and recognize that we have the capacity to create a kinder, gentler, more inclusive, less judgmental world. I don't know that other word, Dane. Less vitriolic.
Less judgmental.
No, less vitriolic.
What the- less vitriolic, yes.
You're going $5 word on me there. I just wanted to read the quote, and then I got stumped on that one. See, this is what feels good. It feels good to make a difference. It feels good to talk about change. This is invigorating. This is activated. This is live. This is feeling like there is something inside of you that is burning to make a difference, and you can do that in your own, whatever it is. I mean, look at what we have at our fingertips right now with your phone. What can you post? What can you do to start to change the conversation and or to start to contribute to the conversation of don't give the power away. Take the power back. And the power is love. And that is a loaded word, but the power is love. One of the callers was asking, what does spirit have to say about this conversation? And I'm not quite sure what that meaning was there, but I do want to bring in that your perspective on that, Dane. When people are praying to God and saying, "How could you let this happen?" Maybe that's what that person meant. What is your perspective on that?
So, when you say, "What is Spirit saying about the conversation?" That's where I would ask you, what do you know that Spirit is saying about the conversation? Because I can give you my interpretation. But for me, to the best of my ability, I'm speaking from that place to the best of my ability all the time, whenever I possibly can. And so I would say you have an awareness, and you have an awareness, and you have a point of view about what Spirit would say about this. And from my point of view, that's every conversation we have should be had from that place, really. You know, Spirit, for me, shouldn't be something that we go into and out of. It's something that we are. And if we would speak from there and choose from there, perhaps that alone would create a different world, as I think we all know. And one other thing, as far as if you are using this in social media, you can use hashtag not on our watch. And so hashtag not on our watch, and see what we might create together as possibilities.
Absolutely. And so there's many different ways that you can go here. You can go to Huffington Post. You can look up the article, Not on Our Watch. You can get involved in the conversation with Access Consciousness, and you can find that out at accessconsciousness.com or accessconsciousnesstv.com or Dane Heer. Just go to Dane Heer as well, D-A-I-N-H-E-E-R as well, and you can find out more about this conversation, where it just adds a sense of opening up the space of freedom in your life. And
can I say one thing? Even though we give, you know, these contact details, the drdanehere.com and that, and mm-hmm. It's like, really, it's not about you connecting with Access Consciousness. Read the Huffington Post article. See if it contributes to you. But I don't care where you connect or how you connect. Get that there's a different possibility that we together can choose. And if we do, we will truly change the face of this planet into something kinder, gentler, more inclusive.
I agree. And that's what we can do. And so, you know, just anyone listening who has been impacted by this conversation, who found a break from the trauma and the drama statistics, and while that is important to know what is going on in the state of our world, why don't we take a moment of action right now that can lift us up, allow us to feel in a space of feeling lighter, but taking action. And it's not all about, please do not think this is a Pollyanna pie in the sky conversation. It is anything but that. This is a time where you can stop standing for those things that take away your power and start thinking of creative ways to allow the consciousness in this planet to uplift. And it starts with you. starts with your thoughts. It starts with becoming a master of your thoughts, a master of your words, and then making a difference in some way. And that's the beginning of this conversation. In Access Consciousness, you say, what else is possible? What else is possible? And that is thank you so much, Dane, for inspiring the conversation, for wanting to have this conversation. You can reach out to us. Go on social, say, hey, I want to start this conversation of what is possible. How can we help? What can we do to increase the consciousness within ourselves and our planet? And email me. Go to lisa@theawareshow.com. Find Dane. And I've got to go. Thank you so much, Dane.
Thank you. And thank you for being willing to have this conversation. And get out of there. And thank
you. That's
what
I'm doing. All right. Until next time, I want you to all stay aware.